There's a training program in the Bible. It's a training program for mentoring anyone around you, but it's also a training program for our children. We're called to train them up in the way they should go. Christ gave us the four steps of training.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and everywhere you turn, life is just a process of learning something new and learning how to cope with something. But having kids is a prime time to teach them how to do all kinds of things.
Well, we've got an assignment, and the assignment really is to train them up, and we're supposed to train them up in a direction. If we don't train them, somebody will. They're not a blank slate. So our assignment is to train them up in the way they should go, and so we need to discover what way that is they should go, because God really has a plan for their life. I don't want my children to miss it. So training responsibility in the areas of handling money, handling your sexuality, handling life, handling time management, which is monster today. And so our job as parents is to train them. And so many people want to know how do you do that? And before you look at how the specifics, what are the specifics of training money and what are the specifics of training all these other things, we want to look at the skeleton to put the meat on for the training. Mm-hmm. There are four steps. Interesting thing happened this week for me, because we have switched over. Everyone else at Sheridan House has switched but me. And it's switching over when we do charge cards for books and tapes. You know, I'll go to a seminar. I just got back from Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'll do a seminar. And for 20 years, I've used what the staff has called a knuckle buster. It's where you put the credit card on a piece of paper and you run this lever over the top and back on our two credit card machines. You go cha-ching, cha-ching, that about kills you. It has the words for Bob only on both of them, because everybody else uses their iPad. All of Sheridan House uses their iPad.
And then they know who broke it or something.
No, it's unbreakable. It's iron. But the iPads, we have five iPads that are just for charge cards.
Oh, wow.
And you go and it's instantly charged and it's cheaper. And finally, basically staff did a rebellion and told me it was time to grow up and that I needed to risk using the iPad. I took it with me to an event on Thursday to practice, so that I could be left alone Saturday, Sunday, Monday in Raleigh. And the way we practiced is I watched Rick Weber do it and do it and do it. We had two down at an event we were at. And then as I watched him, then I got to do it with his supervision. Then I got to do it all by myself. And then I got to feel awesome. Look what I just did. And really, that's part of the training program. There are four basic steps. When you see, Jesus had a plan with his disciples, and it's a very specific plan, and it's awesome in the way he prepared them to go out, because he's handing the baton off to them.
Now, I know a lot of people, though, that know the Bible, and they've raised their own kids. I've never heard them speak about a plan. Maybe they don't see that in Jesus' teaching. They just say, hey, he was a great example, follow me, and all they're doing is exposing. And even their parenting, everything is by absorption, because we talk a lot about plans here.
Yeah.
But what I've seen in other families is just whatever the parents do, the kids end up doing.
Yeah, it's a hit and miss sometimes, or whatever the parents do, the kids end up hating, whatever it is. And I think most parents weren't as needy as me, so I really looked for the plan. He had these disciples. I do think it's important to stop right here and say that the perfect trainer, God himself with skin on, Jesus, trained 12 and still had a Judas in his family. Our job's to train. Our children choose from that what they're going to do with that.
So and the training process doesn't guarantee
perfection. This verse that we have claimed, rather than as the right way, the wise way to live and the wise way to train them, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That's not a promise. That's a principle.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, Jesus trained them up in the way they should go, and Judas was one of the 12.
Right.
And so we want to look at that. You've already ruined this whole broadcast by giving two of the four.
Oh, my.
So I hope that's edited out completely so I can be the one to give the four E's of training. And you see these four E's, these four capital letter E, these four E's in training in the first thing he did, and it's what you said. He came and set an example.
Mm-hmm.
They would watch him in how he handled people. They would watch him in how he handled conflict. They would get to see how he handled different opinions. I think the most shocking thing is they would get to see how he handled sinners because, you know, they were, why is he hanging with sinners? They got to see him love the unlovable. In fact, his example was awesome, because in the six but I says in the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it said you should hate your enemies, but I say love your enemies. nice. And they watched him handle the woman caught in the act of adultery, and everybody thought they'd take her out to stone her. No, he was awesome with her. He just he loved her and told her, don't do this anymore. So he set an example that was so contrary to their inclination. My children have an inclination, and it's to be self-centered, take what they want, and work the system. That's our children, and people get mad at their children. They're children. That's what they're supposed to do. They're the center of their own universe.
Some of us are still children as adults.
Well, because they didn't get the training. That's exactly right. And either I train my children properly, or the harshness of their 20-somethings and their 30-somethings, or their first wife or their first boss will train them, and that's severe, or their first college or their first whatever, where they don't make it because they don't have the training. And so Jesus came, and he set an example for them as they watched it, how he handled money, how he handled financial situations, how he didn't walk by needs, which is one of the coolest things. He just didn't walk by needs.
What does that mean?
Well, he's on his way to minister to somebody who's dying in a house, and the woman with the issue of blood touches the hem of his garment. And when she touches the hem of his garment, he stops everything. And because he felt power go out of him. And they're all looking at him when he says, who touched me? And they're saying, you're kidding me, right? Everybody, this is, we're packed. But he wanted her to know it was not the hem of my garment.
It was like he was fully aware of everything that's going on.
It's amazing. He gets off the boat, and there's the demoniac who's can't be chained, can't be anything. He stops life and he heals this man. He casts out the demons. He didn't walk by needs. And then he said, so let me give you a parable. Don't walk by needs. When they were going between Jerusalem and Jericho, and they all the religious people walk by needs, but of all people, the despised Samaritan actually uses a phrase in the NLT, the despised Samaritan, he stopped. And he ministered to the man left on the side of the road. He set an example, and he explained it to him for what it is. That's the very first step. And we're going to break it down each day this week. But that's the very first step of the training process. The second step is not only to set an example, but he let him participate with him. He exposed them to the things he wanted to train them. He exposed them to the power of God. There's some very fun issues of that, watching that take place.
Because one thing is managing money and making the decisions in front of your kid. They see you swipe a card or whatnot. And the other is saying, come here, let me show you what my budget looks like on the computer screen, you know?
That's right. Hey, Roby, figure out this tip when he's 8 years old. And you get to do a little math. Figure out this tip. Well, how do you figure that out? Well, 20%. Well, how do I do it? Well, what's 10%? I don't know how to do 10%. Well, if it's $20, then move the zero once. And it's $2 is 10%. So 20% is 2 times 10%. So what would 20% be? If 10% is $2, what would be $4? That's how you figure out a tip, Rope. 20%. And so write that down on that credit card thing there. And so we're exposing them together and letting them try that, letting them work through things like that. Exposing them is very important. The hardest one is the third step. Cutting him loose and let him experience. I really believe this is one of the hardest steps for the Christian parent, because we'd rather put him in Tupperware, pop the lid on, and squeeze out all the bad things that could possibly happen to them, drop him off on a college campus, and hope it all works out. And they've never experienced making decisions by themselves. In Raleigh, North Carolina, this past weekend, we were talking about really one of the issues is the 6 years it takes to train your child before they should ever have a date. And back by the book table, there was this awesome mom taking me on dating altogether. And I said, you know, my opinion, but my opinion is train them up in the way they should go rather than hide them from the way they're going to need to go. I want my children to be expert daters. And so yes, junior and senior year of high school, they dated, but yes, ninth and 10th grade, we practiced group dating called parties. And before you can date, you better be able to do parties. And so I let them experience making the decision to call me, come get me, Dad. This party has gone south. There's one of the five things that a barn shouldn't be at with a party. If we wouldn't do it at our house, why would you stay at that house? And teaching them how to call me. If you can't walk out of a bad party, you can't walk out of a bad date. And let them experience the torment of making that decision.
So it's almost like your plan says, let's take a few baby steps. Other plans or parents would say, hold on, I just would rather just have a deadline. You know, you can't date until you're 16.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you've prepared them for dating. And then when they turn 16, then what?
That's like saying you can't drive a car till you're 18 and then you're 18, I hand you keys. Go for it. I know you've never done this before. Just go for it. It doesn't make sense. With the illustration I used with the square swiper on the iPad, Rick didn't cut me loose. It would have been horrible. I watched him do it. He set the example of how to swipe.
He would have given a lot of books away for free.
That's okay, and we do that anyway. But yeah. I watched him, then he watched me, then he went down the other end with his iPad, and I'm on my own, but he's still down there. Hey, wow, it's not working here. And one funny thing did happen. I was trying to put in $150 that somebody bought a whole bunch of things at the table, which, by the way, all the proceeds from our stuff goes to the children's homes here at Sheridan House, but it ended up $1,500. And they're laughing, I'm laughing, but I go to Rick, before I push any buttons, I need this off there. How do I get this off? And he laughed and came down and says, well, there it is. Start over. Hit that button. But it was an opportunity, you know, it's kind of like the party. Dad, come and get me. But I'm going into the party, so I know whether you should have made the call. They're experiencing some independence before they experience total independence off on a college campus. Mm-hmm. And so the third E, after setting the example, exposing them with me involved, experience with me at a distance. And then the final E is encouragement. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage right decisions. I want to encourage effort. I don't want to just encourage performance. I don't want to encourage perfection. I want to encourage effort. You know, I saw that you tried. Was it perfect? No, I'm not perfect either. Mm-hmm. But I want to just encourage and let them know I'm proud of you for that effort you made. I'm proud of you that you tried. That was awesome.
It takes a lot of just intention to even do this last part, because I think inside of most of us, we kind of think, if you do the right thing, good. Why should I applaud that? That's, you know, I want to applaud things that are great. And yet we miss the fact that positive affirmation does so much more than even correction. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's amazing.
And I've learned that from you, but it's hard. Like, you have to be fully aware of the attitude that they're having and applaud that. And as opposed to, hey, if someone has a good attitude, you just got along with them, great. Why should I even mention that?
I've learned that from me. I'm at the book table, and there's people in line.
You gave yourself positive encouragement.
No, but there's people in line. Would you please delete that from this? And there's people in line. And as the people are in line, this guy comes up and says, hey, man, I just waited in line to say, I podcast Parenting Today regularly, and I just want to thank you. And I said, man, you waited in line to say that?
Wow.
That you made my night. Can I just give you something? He says, I got it all. Thank you. And I realized, oh, wow, I'm 65 years old, and I love people saying thank you. And that was great. And whatever it was. We all need encouragement. It's a strange world out there, and it's a challenging world out there. And we need encouragement. I'm going to find a place to get it. I am going to find a place to get it.
Well, and that's the key there. Because
bingo.
Some people say, you know, if I get too much positive, then I'm just, I'm making them a proud person. And then they're always seeking for affirmation, but you're always seeking it anyway in some way, shape, or form.
I had an individual make an appointment with me while I was up in Raleigh, and we were up there, and this individual has messed up in her marriage, and she works at a firm up there. And I said, well, let's look at how this happened so it doesn't happen again. And she said, I know how it happened. There is an individual at the office that gives me all the attaboys, all the encouragement that I never got at home from my spouse.
Wow.
And it became seductive. And I go home, and all I hear is criticism, criticism, criticism. And I said, so have you told this to your husband? No, but I need to. Yeah, you do, because he can change. Yeah. We can all change. We are all vulnerable. But then you take that to a child. Who does that child look to for affirmation? And I don't want my 12-year-old daughter looking to a boyfriend for affirmation. Here I am. I'm here. And so I want to make sure they know that they get that encouragement. Your children need an end of the night visit to the side of their bed. I just want you to know I'm very proud of you. And give them a for instance. You know, my children were home. It was Tori's night to do dishes. And I said to Rob, what are you doing? He says, nothing. What do you want to do, Dad? And he's thinking we're going to go play basketball out front. I said, let's help Tori finish the dishes. But it's not my night. I know it's not your night, but let's help Tori finish the dishes. Let's just help her finish and get them in the dishwasher. We can make this fun. And he kind of goes over, and he was great at making it fun. And we're having fun, and we walk away, and I say, hey, we got a little time. Let's shoot some hoop. And we're walking through the garage, and I said, thanks for helping with the dishes. And he said, well, you kind of made me. And I said, no, I didn't make you. You could have walked away, but you didn't. And it was awesome, and that's amazing. You're a leader. That's being part of a team, and you encourage your sister. And whether she said thank you or not, mozzarella. Well, she did say thanks, Dad. Oh, well, she didn't thank me, so I'm going back in to get my thank you. And we're just laughing. Mm. But we have to encourage this behavior. So choose to encourage. Example, exposure, experience, encourage.
And we're going to dive into each of those for the rest of the week here on Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, go online to shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for more on the four steps of the parent training process here on Parenting on Purpose.